When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in second hour here on Tuesday morning. And today is August 27th. Today is Overdose Awareness Day. And so today, communities in Greater New Bedford and around the world are coming together to remember those who have died or suffered permanent injury due to drug overdose. So the Greater New Bedford Opioid Task Force will commemorate this day today at City Hall and Custom House Square in downtown New Bedford. So at 5:30 p.m. on the steps of City Hall, the program will begin. It will feature speakers followed by a procession to Custom House Square, where participants will gather to honor and remember loved ones from 6 to 8 p.m. People are encouraged to bring a memorial item to be part of this year's event for inclusion in a memorial space at Custom House Square. The event will feature resources, services, and a variety of local community supports, plus music, activities, food, and ice cream, all free of charge. So the theme for this year is Together We Can, and focusing on teaming up together and standing in support of those connected to the tragedy of overdose. So again, it'll be happening today at 5:30 on the steps of City Hall, followed by a procession to Custom House Square, where people are encouraged to bring a memorial item to be part of this year's event to remember a loved one and to honor them. And that will go from 6 to 8 p.m. So I just want to make everybody aware of that, and I'll keep that information handy in case you need it a little bit later on. We'll keep reminding you throughout the morning. I also wanted to bring up something else as well. This caught my eye yesterday, and I didn't realize this is a thing. This is apparently a trend. But if you have old videotapes, VHS tapes, first of all, VHS tapes are making a comeback with the younger generation. They're discovering what VHS movie watching is like, and they are buying these things up wherever they see them. I don't get it. I have a VCR somewhere, probably in my storage facility, my storage space. I gotta pull it out and see if it still works, and see if I get that nostalgic feel from watching a VHS tape. But the younger generation, who probably never saw a VHS tape, loves buying them, watching them. I don't know why. You've got every movie you could imagine available for streaming and on DVD and Blu-ray and glorious 4K, and you want to go back and watch them on a beat-up old VHS tape with tracking issues and little muted sounds and all that, but whatever, if you want to do it. So anyway, my point is, if you have VHS tapes kicking around, put them up on eBay. Put them up on Facebook Marketplace, because these kids are buying them up. And they're trying to collect the movie. You know, they like every kid's like, I got to have Top Gun. I got to have Gremlins. I got to have Ghostbusters. But there's also a new trend in buying people's home movies. So anybody that got a video camera in the 80s, you filmed everything. Everything that happened, somebody had the video camera. And a lot of it you probably taped over. We never watched Joey's fifth birthday, so we can just retape over that tape for Joey's sixth birthday. I remember my dad, we didn't own a video camera, but he would rent one. Because you could rent the camera from the same place you rented the VCR. And you could, you know, make your own movies and watch them on the, you put the camera in. Plug that into the TV and you could watch them on the camera. And so he would film my sister's dance recitals and then other stuff around the house. Somewhere there's a tape that has some of that on there. And so that's what people are looking for now. They buy these tapes of people's home movies or things that they made, and then they've got no idea what's on them, and they watch them on the VCR, and then they share them around. And that's become a huge thing. So if you've got some of those that you don't care about, that you want to part with, put them out there, because the younger generation here will buy them up until they realize that, like, videotapes break. You have to run the head cleaner through them every couple of months. Like, there's a lot of stuff involved that I don't think they understand. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We got some calls here, so let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
Good, and you?
Doing all right. What's on your mind?
Well, about the videos. When my mother passed away, she had over 400 movies, and I had a lot to deal with, so I just gave them all to Savers. And I do have home videos, though. Those I have. I had some transferred from the 70s, from when I got married, when we were kids, when we were... My father was young, my parents, my grandmother was alive. We have all of them. And then later, I think it was in 2000, I had them all transferred to a DVD, and I have those. But it's nice to have, because now I see things from when I was a child, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My mother had we had them transferred from the film she took. They were 8mm films. 8mm, and I took them downtown somewhere, and the guy charged me like $80 to transfer that to a VHS. Then we went from VHS and turned everything over to the DVD. And so, was there anything better than that now? I mean, what is it now? I don't even know.
I know my aunt had a bunch of my family's home movies put onto digital, so now she can just access it on the cloud, and we can watch it on any computer. I think I think she had a DVD made too, just as a backup. But you know, nowadays you can take anything and transfer it.
Yeah, my son's done a lot of that. I don't want to bother him. He's got a lot going on right now, but he's done a lot of that himself too. So, and I've got these all in the closet. You know, once they turn rotten, I still have some VHS tapes of the family that are not changed yet, not changed over. And they're so old, I'm afraid to play them. I haven't touched them for many years. But anyway, that's nice that you brought that up, because you woke me up to that now, that I should be doing something.
Yeah.
Glad you said. What made you think of all that?
I just saw it going around. And, you know, I used to have quite the movie collection. I used to have a little side business where I would rent movies from the video store across the street from the high school, go into the AV room to the editing deck, because I was part of the AV club and I had the keys and everything. I'd go in there and I'd dub tapes and then sell them all for $5. So when a movie came out, you wanted to have a copy of it, I'd get you a copy of it for $5. And then I'd go in and I'd use the color copier in the library to copy the front of the movie case. And then I would tape that to the front of the blank tape box.
Like the businessman, huh?
It's illegal. It's called piracy. And,
My mother was so crazy with the videos. Oh, I had to bring her all the time to rent some more. She went to the movie land. We went everywhere to Blockbusters, and she just had to have the movies. That was her whole life when she started to get real, you know, older. She was home with us. She had to have them. And every time I took her to a yard sale, that's all we bought. They were like a dollar each. My mother was overloaded with it, but that was her thing. Before I hang up, I didn't hear... I was listening, but I wasn't out of the car. I'm out already. And I heard the news, but during the night I heard the news about, I don't know if you mentioned it. I just got back in the car. You could have talked about it. I don't know. The guy that killed his family shot them all because they sold a home, and he had never lived anywhere else but there. And I think he was a mechanic. He lost his mind and shot the whole family. Now, I didn't hear if he shot himself or not. Do you know the story I'm talking about?
I do not. No, I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, because I heard it on news, like, before you guys come on at BSM, like the news that comes on at night there. I caught that. Killed his whole family with a gun, and because they were selling the house. I guess the parents passed away, and everybody lived in that one big house, and he had nowhere to go. He was, I guess, so despondent. He went in there with a gun and killed everybody.
According to the AP, he took his own life as well.
Oh, he did. Okay, that's what I was going to ask because I didn't know. Oh boy, what a horrible thing. I mean, just take them all to court if you have to and fight it, but to kill the whole family for that? The brain, through the brain. And you know me, I blame a lot of things on the food we eat, you know. Because it's got everything in it. It changes everything about who you are. Changes your brain. So many years of eating all junk. It's just, I don't even know what to eat anymore. I'm sticking to my chocolate and my meat and eggs, and that's it. And I'm alive and walking around.
Yeah, well.
Well, thanks for taking the call. Now you made me think about those videos, and I have to do something about it before I croak.
Well, there you go.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
And let's take another call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
What chicken, playboy?
What's going on?
I've got the sound of the Song of the South on DVD and also Blu-ray. And I know that I know somebody offered me $300 for the Blu-ray, but I didn't get to sell it to him. So, all right. So you.
Let me ask you a question, Lamone. As a black man, do you find that movie is racist? Do you find that movie to be troublesome?
I find it very racist, but I still find it entertaining. And you know, it's like when I watched it as a kid, so I could appreciate why it was sent out that way. But like I said, I understand where it's coming from. I do understand. And like I said, and I think it might be in a dark kind of way of bringing it to a person, but yet it's the way it was. And I think that people, that's like, for instance, like getting rid of Mrs. Butterworth. She's black. She's a black woman, but you know, they got rid of her. And that was one of the only few put there. And Uncle Ben's the only two places you can find respectable black people on a box or something. You know what I mean? That's been in everybody's home, you know, white people, Asian people, all color people, you know.
That's a good point.
So, and it's like, I'm sure you've had Uncle Ben's in your house, right? One time or another in your as growing up as a child, right?
Yeah, I couldn't name another rice brand.
Or not Miss Butterworth. You can't even, like, you know, what's about her, you know. I feel you on that, though. So let me tell you something. You know all the money that the government's given to the Ukraine? It's like they could fix all of the potholes and stuff in the streets nationwide 132 times. They could fix the pipes and water up in Michigan, up in Flint area. That's what I was thinking about. I was going to tell you about that last week, but she had her leave. So they could fix that 248 times, and then they could take and house all of the homeless vets, give them a 5-bedroom home with $19 million.
Wow.
And so that's all the money they're doing. That's just over the last couple of years they've been giving to the Ukraine. All that money, not since 2000 and whenever it started, like 2020, whatever, like not since then, but just the last 2 years. So that right there, all that money that's put out there like that, a third of that would be nice to come back to our states, back to the people who need it. And like I said, you know, there's a lot of people out there that certainly could appreciate a hand up instead of a hand out. You know what I mean? And it's sad. I see this, everywhere, and it's like I don't have it like I used to have it, but I see somebody that I see that have less than I have. I'm more than willing to share. I've been doing that. My kids do that and stuff. They've been, since they're little girls, my oldest daughter, she took and donated a whole bunch of money to those kids in Africa and stuff, you know, that didn't have food to eat and stuff like that. You know, like, you know how they had those kids. And if you ever notice, when you see those kids, when they're in those commercials, starving kids, you know, their stomach distended, like they're full, but they're not. But you see how you see the fly circling around their mouths, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, trying to get, that's one thing that people, but that is, they're drawn to the putrefaction of the food, whatever acid and stuff that's in the stomach. That's what the flies are drawn to. If you ever notice, you get out there, you see flies drawn to the eyes, or the nose, or the mouth. That's what they're drawn to, because, you know, like tears and stuff like that, to the eyes, the nose, and the mouth. That's where the food, the stuff, they smell, the putrefaction comes from, all that food, whatever that's in your stomach. And that's what that is. And that's kind of gross, but hey, that's the way life is. That's how you see the flies and stuff find bodies and stuff, and they drop their eggs and put in the air, and they go out of, through carpet and stuff like that, and get into the bowels and what other cases. That's they're pretty ingenious if you look at them. And so there's also, like, I've got, like, with my VHSs, I've got, like, a DVD VHS compatible. I record on the DVD and on the VHS, and I've got, like, 10 blank VHS tapes, and I got, like, a 20-pack of Maxell and Memorex, both of cassette tapes for that. And so I remember recording the first season of Crypt Keeper, you know,
Tales from the Crypt, yeah.
So I remember a Friday night at 10 o'clock, staying up Friday night all the way to Monday morning at 6 o'clock for the last episode, recording all of those, and I had it to where, like, you know, you could record it on, had all that on one cassette. That's a lot of episodes, we'll say. And so I took it. I took it over, let my mother was staying, my sister let her borrow it, and she took and recorded Highlander on it. I was like, Heffa! It was like, you know, but, perfect. But I had that, and my favorite one was where they show the Crypt Keeper when he was a baby. He says, my daddy was a dummy, my mommy was a mummy. Remember how they showed his mother and father? You remember what? The Crypt Keeper, did you ever see that? Oh, you didn't see that one,
No,
did you?
I think I did. So I got to hang out with the voice of the Crypt Keeper, John Cassier, last year at TerrorCon, and I'm going to be hanging with him in Plymouth at a convention, horror convention there this year. So I'll have to see if I can get him to record a little message for you.
Are you going to hang with Brinks too?
No, just John Cassier.
So you know, you were playing Phil Collins when you were Albus, well, that him and Mike, I was talking to both of them. They said they couldn't dance, so I tried to teach them how to dance. And, you know, and they were pretty groovy guys. You know, they were moving pretty good. And so, like I said, you know, so they have a little something extra they didn't have beforehand. But this was after that song came out. I said, "Well, you need to learn that. Come on, I'll teach you guys how to dance."
But Tony Banks already knew how to dance. Is that the case? You only taught Mike and Phil. Tony knew how.
Well, I guess. Well, he wasn't there. He sat and watched. He was getting his drink on, watching him, and he was laughing. So this was here in Vegas, and so this was, oh God, oh, and this is going back, way back in the time. Oh man.
Well, speaking of time, I got to go to the break here before the news. So I got to hold you there.
Yeah, I didn't want to speak with you much longer, anyways.
That's what I thought. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so no spooky.
I figured he needed to take a breath after all that. No spooky this weekend. Maybe sometime in September.
I figured I could get as in much out of the way while I was doing, but you said, call back tomorrow, I'll give you more time.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, you have a good day.
Okay, you can stay out of trouble and tell Mary hello and say, hey, tell Sister Sketty, it's about shaking, girlfriend.
All right.
And I'd like to say good morning to everybody out there in New Bedford land. Come to Vegas and I'll take and buy you something to drink, or at least buy you a milkshake or something nice like that.
All right.
So, I like milkshakes. So, hey, go to the Heart Attack Grill and get their buttermilk milkshakes.
There you go. All right. You have a good day. Go have a milkshake for us. All right. That is Lamona, Las Vegas. I got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. And, of course, they go crazy for the milkshakes, the buttermilk milkshakes at the Heart Attack Grill. And Lamona said he'll buy you one if you go out there and visit him in Las Vegas. All right. Well, That's, I mean, what can you say about Lamone? But right now, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all of the important stories of the day with Phil Devitt.
Donald Trump not so sure about his ABC debate with Kamala Harris. Facebook admits it was pressured to censor Americans. And a La Bamba remake in development.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Former President Trump is questioning why he should debate Vice President Kamala Harris on ABC News next month.
I think ABC is really should be shut out. I'd much rather do it on NBC. I'd much rather do it on CBS, frankly. I think CBS is very unfair, but the best of the group.
The two are scheduled to take the stage on the network on September 10th in Philadelphia. In a Truth Social post on Sunday, Trump said he watched an interview with Republican Senator Tom Cotton on ABC, which he called biased, and said the network held a discussion with a panel of Trump haters. It comes as both campaigns fight over the rules for the debate, including the Harris camp wanting open mics, while the Trump campaign does not. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg penning a letter to the House Judiciary Committee admitting that the Biden administration pressured Facebook to censor Americans. Karen Curtis reports.
In the letter to House Judiciary Committee Chairman Representative Jim Jordan, Zuckerberg wrote that senior Biden administration officials, including the White House, repeatedly pressured Meta to censor content related to COVID-19, and he admitted it was wrong to block the coverage of Hunter Biden's infamous laptop. Zuckerberg says he regrets complying with certain demands and assured Jordan that Meta has put policies in place to ensure this doesn't happen again. Karen Curtis, Miami.
A Biden administration program that would give legal status to undocumented immigrants married to American citizens is on hold after a judge's ruling. A federal judge in Texas on Monday blocked the program for 14 days, although the Department of Homeland Security can still accept applications. The program was challenged by 16 Republican-led states. SpaceX is delaying a highly anticipated launch aimed at creating a new generation of spaceflight. Today's scheduled liftoff of the Polaris Dawn mission is now delayed by a day for additional pre-launch checks related to a helium leak. Kate Fisher with more on what's expected when the mission does finally get underway.
Two astronauts on SpaceX's Polaris Dawn mission are expected to leave the capsule in Earth's orbit, making it the first major test of the company's new spacesuits.
They'll conduct the first ever commercial spacewalk while wearing specially designed SpaceX suits. During their journey, the four-person crew will also run experiments and conduct critical research regarding the impact of space flights on human health. Lowe's is pulling back on its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies after pressure from conservative podcaster Robbie Starbuck. Starbuck said he approached the company last week and said he planned to take aim at them over their employee resource groups and donations to Pride events. The home improvement company didn't comment but did send a memo to employees Monday that it was reviewing its policies after the 2023 Supreme Court decision to strike down affirmative action in college admissions. And the story of rock and roll legend Ritchie Valens is heading back to the big screen. Variety reports Sony Pictures is developing a remake of the Golden Globe-nominated 1987 film La Bamba. The movie told the story of the Mexican-American's rise from a field worker to teenage rock star. Valens died at the age of 17 in a plane crash along with Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper. The writer and director of the original film, Luis Valdez, will serve as executive producer.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Red Sox lost to the Toronto Blue Jays twice on Monday, 4-1 and 7-3, but another game on deck today at Fenway Park. And the New England Patriots gearing up for the regular season. That starts September 8th away with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Humidity remains in place after all of that unsettled and severe weather across the region yesterday. Areas of dense fog this morning, temperature in the low 60s, sunny and 80 this afternoon, partly cloudy skies overnight with the areas of fog mid-60s. As we head into this Wednesday, partial sunshine with a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures around 80. Be sure to watch ABC6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
That I owe you, yes, you can pay the bills. I will give you more when I get paid again. I hate those people who love to tell you money is the root of all the kills. They have never been poor, they have never had the joy of a welfare Christmas.
Welcome back in. That is Everclear. And I will buy you a new life. And I will not buy you a new life. But we can make your life significantly better. Coming up in a couple of weeks, we might be giving away some cash. But you'll have to stay tuned for all of that. Okay, well, listen, I find this whole situation with the Trump-Harris debate debate. Let's get to at least one before we worry about the other ones. But I find this all very interesting. Because if you remember, it was President Biden's camp that pushed for the muted microphones in the debate that the two of them had. They didn't want Donald Trump to have the ability to just keep talking and talking and talking. And I think for a lot of people who are even supporters of Donald Trump, they didn't want Donald Trump to keep talking and talking and talking. They wanted him to show that he can be reserved. They wanted him to show that he can wait his turn and that he doesn't have to be impulsive. And they wanted him to not look unhinged, which can happen. Certainly, he looked that way in 2016 with Hillary Clinton. He looked like he just couldn't stop talking. That could have just been strategy to try to rattle her, and it did at times. But I think the way that that worked out was fine. Now, Vice President Harris is saying, well, we want the mukes, the mukes. We want the mukes to be unmiked. No, we want the mics to be unmuted. Because they feel like giving Trump the chance to look unhinged and to just keep talking and talking and talking will benefit them. And that, unlike Hillary Clinton, she's not going to get rattled. So if that's the way that they feel and that's the way they want to play it, you'd expect that they'd want to play it. However, the Trump campaign pushed back and said, no, we want these muted mics. But now Donald Trump himself is saying, I'm fine with an unmuted mic. So do you think the people who are running his campaign are thinking, well, we can't let him have an open mic through the whole thing because he will do exactly what he did in 2016 again. And they don't want that to happen. They don't want the Harris campaign to be able to use that against him because they'll be able to use that against him. Especially now where age has become such a topic of conversation in this election. And certainly now with Biden out, that age conversation has shifted to Trump. And it doesn't matter how much you think he's cognitively better than Joe Biden. The fact is people are still saying age is a factor. So you don't want him to look like a rambling person who doesn't have full mental faculties, which he may or may not be, but when you ramble on a microphone, it can certainly look that way. So I think it's interesting that he and his camp are already at odds over whether or not to do this. I thought it was a better format because it was less distracting. less time spent trying to calm one person down so the other person could finish speaking. They still can say something so the other person can hear. Nobody's telling him, you know, you can't open your mouth. But it just becomes a little bit cleaner for the audience to be able to hear the answers to the questions. But that being said, I'm fine with it being unmuted mics as well. But what would you rather see? Would you rather see muted mics or unmuted mics? I think as a voter, as someone who's trying to gather information perhaps and hear answers to questions, unmuted certainly helps in that. But as someone who is watching the political drama unfold, you want to see two people going at it, and you don't want that to stop because they shut somebody's microphone off. That's not a debate if they don't have the chance to interact necessarily. Now, I'll tell you this. If we did that and we had a debate here on the radio and people were talking over each other, you know, we'd stop it. We'd say, well, hold on, because this is radio. It's going to be hard for people to hear when there's two voices happening at the same time. We would stop it because for us, as an auditory medium, it doesn't do anybody any good. But as a visual medium with television, that's a great visual when you've got two people going at it. And I don't see the moderators, whose job it is to literally moderate, stepping into that if it gets heated. So I guess kind of the question is, well, are there undecided voters out there? And I really don't believe that there are. You could tell America right now, hey, you know what? Just in the interest of saving time, we're going to move this election up to September 5th instead of November 5th. We're just going to do it September 5th. Is that all right with everybody? I think most people would be like, yeah, that's fine. One way or the other, let's just get it over with. Because I don't think that there's this huge swath of undecided voters that need to wait until the last minute to decide who they're going to vote for. Especially now with Kennedy out of the race and endorsing Trump. The people who were, you know, now it's pretty much a binary decision. So the people that were like, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really love this candidate, but I do like the idea of somebody else. And so, like, none of that's happening anymore. It's a binary choice, and I think people have already made that choice. And if Trump really did want to back out of doing these debates, that could easily be his argument. I don't know who's left that's undecided. You know, our numbers show that people have made up their minds. And I have nothing to gain by debating. So I don't know. But I think television, if they have their druthers, they want them to be able to talk over each other. 508-996-0500. Mary, I'll let you call back, but don't tell Amon that I did, okay?
5 seconds, Mr. Weisberg.
Yes.
I'm calling because you said that, now I don't know, did Kamala say this or was it your thought when you said she wants the mic to not be muted because she wants Donald Trump to over-talk? Now, is that your idea or did she say that?
I can give you the statement that they made. This comes from the Harris campaign spokesman, Ian Sams. He said, the vice president wants the American people to see an unfettered Donald Trump because that's what we're going to get if he becomes president again. So they have said that they want, that the Harris campaign has said that they want him to have an unmuted mic for that reason.
The Harris campaign said that. It didn't come out of Kamala's mouth, did it?
This came from the spokesman. This is the quote that he gave to CNN.
And you think, do you think it should be muted? I don't.
I mean, I think it depends on, you know, the format. Like I said, I think in radio, you know, you can't talk over each other like that. I think in television it works a little differently because people can see who's talking and they can kind of, it's easier to get what both people are saying when you can see it with your eyes as opposed to just hearing it with your ears.
I know. But I like to hear them battle it out. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to say things that they can't take back after they say it. If they're muted, then by the time they get a chance to talk again, they either forget what they wanted to say or they don't say what they wanted to say at the time. I say leave those mics on. That's the way it's always been. This thing with muting it, this happened recently that kind of started.
And that's CNN like debate, that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much for letting me call back.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And, the reason why CNN agreed to that was because that was what it took to get the president to agree to doing this debate on CNN so early in the campaign. That was one of their caveats, and that's a concession that the network was willing to make. And also, as moderators, I'm sure the moderators want to have the mukes. They want to have the mics muted because it makes their job a lot easier. They can just get on to the next question instead of just having to play referee. So I think that, you know, if you are the head of the network and you're sitting down with the people who are going to moderate for you and the moderators say, we would like it that way, you know, you've got to take that into consideration. But, you know, I agree with Mary. It's better to have people have the opportunity to go back and forth. The problem is before, people respected that. And they might say something when it was the other person's turn, but they mostly respected everybody else's chance to speak. And that hasn't been the case in the last few years of presidential debates. Got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And welcome back in. That, of course, is New York by Ryan Adams, which that song, I don't know if you remember that song. In fact, I'd kind of forgotten about that song until I saw something pop up on Instagram that played it. And it's been in my head ever since. But that song was supposed to come out on September 11th, 2001. The video that they filmed for that song, which, of course, takes place in New York, was filmed on September 7th. 2011. And the idea was, you know, go film the video, release the song. The video comes out, be a huge smash hit for Ryan Adams. And instead, what happened was they held the song off until November. Once the terrorist attacks happened on the morning of September 11th. And so the song became a song of healing. Now, it's not about New York, the city. New York was the girl, what he called the girl in the song. Well, actually, it was a dichotomy. He was saying, I still love the city of New York, even though he broke up with the girl, but New York was also the nickname. It had different layers of meanings. But he would not play the song live and would not want it to be licensed out to the media who were looking to use that song as a song of healing after those attacks. But he was like, no, I don't want it to look like I'm profiting off what happened. So it was a rare thing where he did let the Yankees use it as a song, though, to play in Yankee Stadium and for the NYPD and the NYFD to be able to use the song as well. And the thing about the video is the video features the Twin Towers pretty prominently. So when it came out in September, in November of 2011, is really kind of people's first images. Because if you remember, Spider-Man featured the Twin Towers prominently in its promotion and in the teaser trailer and all that stuff. And they had to digitally remove those from the movie because they felt it would be too jarring for people to see it in the film when it came out. So anyway, it's a great song that shouldn't be forgotten, even though it kind of got shuffled away. That was such a weird time. It really was. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We have another hour where we can take your calls. We can have more discussions. We can read your app chat messages, which I'll just read you a couple real quick. Rob in a cushion says, I think muted Mike's benefit Trump's benefits Trump. Harris will have to speak and defend the failures of her administration in past. We know Trump. Harris has just been a prop. Now she will have to sink or swim. And Jeff in Fall River says, good morning, Tim. Muted microphone is fine with me. It makes a debate a bit more civil. The back and forth banter is extremely annoying and childish. Kamala wants her moment to tell Trump to be quiet. I mean, that's true. If you remember, that happened in the vice presidential debate in 2020, where Pence was interrupting her and she's, you know, she had that viral moment where she said, you know, Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking, and held her hand up. And so, yeah, maybe that's what they're looking for, is another moment like that. I think also, too, you've got to look at this as, do we want this to be the standard going forward? Because if you do it now in a second debate, then it's easy for it to become the standard. And is that something that you want? You know, obviously, like Mary said, she doesn't want that. She wants them to be able to go back and forth. That's what the true spirit of a debate is. And it's the job of the moderator to rein people in. The problem is in 2016, and again a little bit in 2020, well, I shouldn't say a little bit, a lot again in 2020. But in neither one of those did the moderators really rein in that back and forth when it was happening. They just kind of sat back and said, yeah, let's let this happen. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take one last break for this hour. We'll be right back. Hey, little thing, let me light your candle, calls the mama. I'm sure all the hand and I just around. And welcome back in. We're going to be going to the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, you and I, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Did you have any damage from the hail yesterday? Did it ding up your car? Did it bust any windows? I saw a lot of videos that people had of the hail coming down. And as I was saying earlier, it looked like it had snowed. I mean, it melted pretty quick, but it was coming down so hard and so fast that it actually piled up. And you had a coating of ice on the ground, a coating of hail that looked like it had snowed. Cars covered in it, the ground covered in it. I've never seen a hailstorm like that before. Never one that lasted as long as that did. With hail that size, just bouncing and dinging off everything. And I'm sitting under a skylight saying, gee, I hope it doesn't break. But it wasn't that bad. But it was still pretty powerful, pretty intense. And the clouds rolling in over Peyton Arum yesterday, it looked like a tidal wave of water.